This morning we have the privilege of having Brother Francis Anaisi here from Africa, from Ghana. He, as most of you know, he was here several weeks ago with Carl Schwarzentruber, but he's agreed to come and preach for us the main message here this morning. Francis goes back very far with our group, quite a few years. I'm not sure when Brother Denny first met him, but I would think it was mid to late 80s, I believe, in Ghana. And I haven't had much contact with him until just recently here, but there's been Carl and others have had continued contact there in Ghana. So anyhow, we're privileged to have him here to share with us, and we trust that the Lord will speak through him. And just though his way of speaking English may be a little bit different than we're used to, I think if you listen closely, you'll be able to understand. It's very much typical of the way English is spoken in Ghana. And so maybe give him our prayerful attention. Lord bless you, Brother Francis, as we come.
Good morning to you all. I'm happy to be before you this day because it is God's plan. I do not know why God has brought me all the way from Africa to stand before you this morning, but I think it is His divine plan that no man can brush it out. So I just give the glory to Him. And I thank you also for receiving me. Because when you go to certain areas, they do not regard a black man. They just look down upon him. They don't believe that it is God who created both black and white. So right now that I'm standing before you, it is our God, our Father, our Maker, our everything. So I just give glory to Him and thank you for receiving me. Amen. Shall we bow down our head for a word of prayer? Oh, our Father, we come before you right now. You are omnipotent, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-missions. You know why you have brought me before your children. And I know what you are going to do now. We just commit ourselves into your mighty hand, God, that you will regard me as just a vessel, a tool in your hand, that you pass through me, minister to all of us, the speaker and the hearers, that after you are done, your blessings will fill our spirit, our soul, and our body. And we glorify you in our speech, in our thoughts, in our action. We know that you know what you are going to do. Only give us spirit of attention, that we will listen to what you are going to share with us, absorb and apply them in our lives, that people will see us and glorify you in our lives. We just want to thank you for answering in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm glad to stand before you again. What the Lord has laid on my heart to share with you, this makes me know that God is here, right here. Because what God has given me to share with you, part came to the first preacher. It is just wonderful. So when he was, preaching, I just looked at him and said, yes, God is with him. Because part of what I'm going to share with you has come out from him. And the Bible says, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22, that as we all died in Adam, so shall we all live in Christ. So everybody, anyone who has come into the world through Adam, is already dead. We have four kinds of death. We have spiritual death. We have moral death. We have physical death. And we have eternal death. So if you are not saved by Christ, already spiritually you are dead. And morally you are dead. Before you die physically and go to eternal death, that means separation from God forever and ever. But we thank God that through Christ you have been saved. So now we are morally alive and we are spiritually alive. Spiritually means that we have fellowship with God. God always is with us. He listens to us and we talk with Him in prayer. And morally, that means we are now hungry and thirsty for righteous way of living. And righteousness will lead us into holiness. And the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. So moral death, that means the character, the image of God, we lost it in Adam. But whenever God calls you through Christ, Jesus Christ, you are morally alive. You become hungry and thirsty for righteous living. And the righteousness will lead you into holy life. And then spiritually, you have fellowship with God, your Father. So whoever has come to God through Christ has become morally alive and spiritually alive. Only the body is dead through sin, but the spirit is alive through Christ. So now, all of us here, we are morally alive. We are spiritually alive. Only we are waiting for the physical death. Because this body is dead. When you turn your Bible to Romans chapter 8 verse 10, it will tell you that Romans chapter 8 verse 10 says that and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ be in you, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of what? Sin. So this body is dead. Look at my hair. Gray hair. It's a sign that this body is dead and it's decaying. One day, the spirit, the soul, which is I am, will go out from this mortal body, which is dead. So it is declining. It is decaying. Look at the marks here. It's a sign that this body is dead because of our sin. But the spirit within me is alive. So the spirit within you is always hungry and thirsty for righteous way of living. Because you are now being controlled by the spirit of Christ. The same book, Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So when you become alive spiritually, you are directed or you are led by the Spirit of God. So whoever has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ has become alive. When you turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26, Galatians chapter 3 verse, reading from verse 26, it says that for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So whoever had got faith in Christ has become a child of God. And if you are a child of God, you have fellowship with Him. When I was sitting there, look at the boy, his head on his father's lap. Because he's his father and he's his son. So you are able to put your head on your father God because you have become a child of Him. By faith in Christ Jesus. And when through faith, 27 says, For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. Like a garment. So wherever you go, whoever sees you, he sees you not like who you are yesterday, but who you are today. Who you were yesterday, you were sinner. And were dead. Your mind is carnal, worldliness. You are always concerned with the earthly materials. But God doesn't come into your life. But according to, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. 28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ. So we all have become one. No Jew, no Greek, no black, no white, no woman, no man. We are all one in Christ. So the Spirit of God has come into your spirit, into your soul, to help you to live like a man, to live like a woman. And that doesn't give you the authority or the audacity to take that authority of what? Your husband or your father or man. Because God is on the top. Jesus Christ is under him. Man is under Jesus Christ and woman is under man. But the Spirit has just come into you to help you to live like a woman. To help you to live like a man at home. So the woman cannot become a pastor. There are some churches allowing women to become pastors. No. Man is the head of the woman. You are just a helper. Well, God created woman to become a helpmeet so that she can help her husband to perform as a man. And every work that God has given him, he will do it. So, when Jesus Christ came and saw that we are dead, he came for those who are dead in sin to make us alive in God. So Jesus Christ came and searched for us. And we thank him that when he came into America, she has seen you, he has seen you, he has seen you, he has seen everybody here and has called you to come out from Adamic nature into Christ-like nature, which is the nature of God. So the same book, Romans chapter 8 verse 29, Romans 8 29, it says that, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. To be conformed to the image of his son. The image of his son. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus Christ is the image of God. And if you become the image of Jesus Christ, a geometrical equation, if A is equal to B, and B is equal to C, then automatically C is equal to A. So if you are equal to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is equal to God, then you are equal to God in what? Image. So right now that we are sitting here, we have the image of God dwelling in you, and leading you along the path of holiness. So every Christian, everyone in Christ and Christ in him or her is God's child. So we've got the mind of Christ and we have the heart of Christ. According to Philippians chapter 5, have this mind in you as it was in Christ Jesus. The mind of the Christ. And when you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 11 verse 29 and verse 30, it says, put my yoke under your neck. And learn of me, because I am meek and humble. So when you get the heart of Jesus Christ, you become meek, you become humble. Wherever the leader of the church will lead you, you will never question him, because you are a soldier. When the commander says shoot, you've got to shoot before you ask him the reason why he directed you to shoot. No question. So right now, what I'm sharing with you, the topic of my message, what I've shared now is just a preface of my message. The preface, now we are going to introduction, before chapter by chapter. Preface, hopeful journey. In Africa, there was a time some fishermen went to the ocean for fishing, and there was a great storm, tempest. Very, very great that the wooden boat capsized. The canoe, which they used to fish from the ocean, capsized. And all that they sent to the sea, their food, their water, everything, got drowned. So there was no food for them to eat. And they were on the ocean for 3 consecutive months. And if you were one of them, what will you do? The food is gone. The water is gone. You are on the deep sea. But in Africa, there was a very high mountain that serves as a, compass. So when the fishermen go to sea, they look at the high mountain. If they are able to see the high mountain, it means they are not far away from the shore. And they are not lost. So when the tempest blew, the storm blew, and they got, missing, they couldn't see that high mountain. That means they were in the deep ocean. And the food is gone. Their water is gone. So what they do is that whenever it is raining, they put their shirts or their clothing on the canoe. And the water that can, they squeeze and they drink. Isn't that wonderful? So there came a time they were on the ocean, on the ocean, on the ocean. Sometimes it rains, sometimes the storm blows. And so there came a time that the storm was very, very heavy and their canoe got broken. What are you going to use to bring you down? The canoe got broken. Only a part, small part, they got it. The rest was blown away. So there were 7 in number. 6 of them died, remaining only one on that small broken part. And it was on this. So there could be a day that they saw coconut floating on the ocean. And then coconut branch was also floating. And then some leaves were also floating. Then the guy got to know that he's closer to the shore. Because of the branches, because of the coconut, because of the leaves, gave him a hope that he was nearer the shore. That is why I have termed my topic Hopeful Journey. So these branches and the coconut gave him hope that he's closer to the shore. So there and there, one day he saw the mountain, indicating that he was closer to the shore. So when he came closer to the shore, he made off his hand. And people who were at the shore saw that the guy was in danger. So they had to take a canoe and then meet him and then bring him down. My brother, my sister, this is a hopeful journey. The coconut branch on the sea, on the ocean, on the surface of the sea, and the coconut and the leaves gave him hope that he was closer to the shore. And we also, according to the Bible, we are strangers in the world. You are not a citizen of the world. When you turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it tells us that the whole world, verse 19 says that, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in what? Wickedness. But you, through the faith in Jesus Christ, you have become a child of God. So right now, you are a stranger. You are not a citizen of the world. You are a stranger. You are not part of the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. So you are a stranger, and you are a pilgrim, and you are your sojourner. So a stranger or a pilgrim shouldn't live like those who are citizens of the world. That is why you have been given the Spirit as a mark of ownership of God on you. Not everyone has got the Spirit of God. Those who are dead, they haven't got the Spirit of God in them. So if you haven't got the Spirit of God in you, it means your heart, you are dead. When you turn your Bible to Galatians chapter 3, chapter 4, verse 6, it will tell you that because you are a child of God, God has given you His Spirit as a mark. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Because you are a child of God, God has sent His Spirit into your heart. And it will always make you call, Father, Father, you are a child of God. So that Spirit in you has made the devil angry of you. Because you are in his territory. The world, he says, is giving him, as a lease. It is not sold to him, a lease. There will be a time the owner will come down. And the owner is our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. But before then, he's coming to take us home and destroy those who are following the devil. So this morning, let us glorify God. And when Jesus Christ came, he said, Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, Romans chapter 3 verse 23 is saying that 3:23 is saying that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we come to Romans chapter 6 verse 23, it's also saying something to us that for the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and have become short of the glory of God. And the sin that has caused us to become fall short of the glory of God, the wages is what? Death. So whoever has come through Jesus Christ, Adam, is already dead. And your wages is death because of sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, everlasting life. Because the place that we are going, nobody die. Nobody die. Nobody become what? Old. Nobody have gray hair. No. You'll be young, eternally. Young lady, younger brother, eternally. Because there's no cemetery in heaven. No casket in heaven. No hospital in heaven. No doctor in heaven. No nurse in heaven. No policeman in heaven. No soldier in heaven. No barracks in heaven. No mortuary in heaven. So you are going to heaven with what? Everlasting body. And that is why God is preparing us. So when I look at you this morning, I see that we are being prepared. God is preparing us. So when Jesus Christ came, he came for sinners and not righteous. He came for those who are dead in sin. And the gift that he gave us, whoever responds to the call of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And when he called Peter and co, and was about to go, he told them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I go, according to John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again. What is he coming back again to do? According to John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye also may be. This is the promise for everyone who has believed in our Lord Jesus Christ and has become a child of God. So our Lord is preparing a place. And when he is done, he will come back and take us home. But calculate and know, 2016 years ago, the day that Jesus Christ bowed down his head and said, it is finished. It was that time the calendar was put aside and they started counting. 1, 2, 3. That we have counted 2016 years. Jesus has not come. Do you think that place is inferior? No, it was not an inferior place. Superior. 2016, Jesus Christ is still preparing a place for you and me. So whenever he's done, he will come and take us home. That is why he's preparing us for a prepared place. So every Christian is being prepared for a prepared place. And this is our hope. So everyone having the Spirit of Christ in him or in her is always looking to the coming of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ. So, when Jesus Christ said this, he didn't tell only the 12. According to John chapter 17, reading from verse, John 17 verse 20 to 21. He said, neither pray I for this alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. So, Peter and co started preaching. And those who heard their preaching and believed in the word and became children of God, we also are part of the promise that he's preparing a priest, and when he is done, he'll come and take us home. So you are one of them. And he said, according to verse 24, the same book, John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I want that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So where he is, we also may be there and see his glory. This is our hope. Now, when all these things were said, Peter and co, Matthew, Luke and John, they also put a question to Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 down. Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 down. It says, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming and of the end of the world? The signs of their coming to take us home. The signs that will inform you that your master is making ready to come for you. Like as I told you, the fishermen, when they saw the coconut branch floating on the sea, when they saw the coconut, the leaves floating, they had the hope that they were nearing the shore. And these people wanted to know the sign that will confirm that Jesus Christ is ready, or is ready to come and take us home. And he told them, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You see, kingdom fighting against kingdom, nation fighting against nation. It's going on in Africa. When you come there, it's very, very bad. Kingdom fighting against kingdom. Even churches fighting against churches. Why? We all call one name, Jesus Christ. You say you are a Christian, I'm a Christian. But why are you fighting against me? Because so many have come into the system. They are not called out people. We have called out. Heaven, you cannot go there without a calling from God. So those who are going to heaven, they are called out. So those who have received the call of God have become enemies to those who have called themselves. So we have three types of pastors. Self-appointed pastors. He has appointed himself as a pastor. And man-appointed pastors. Men have called him to become their pastor. We will pay you all that you need. We will supply everything you need. But preach to us. Tell us what you want to hear. Don't tell us what God wants us to hear. But God appointed pastors. They are to tell the people what God wants them to do. So when they asked him, help us or teach us how to pray, he said, our Father, not my Father, our Father. So the one sitting beside you is your Father God's child. How do you treat him or her? Our. So when even God stands upon the word our to judge us, many will go away, will be cast away. Because everybody on this earth is your Father's child. And those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and have become children of God is your sister, is your brother. How do you treat her or him? What thoughts have you got for your brother or your sister? When you are speaking about your brother or your sister, what are the words? Do you condemn him? Do you condemn her? Or you exalt him? There are so many people going to hell. Yet they are in the houses of God. But the heart is dead. The mind is darkened. The conscience is dead. So when a person becomes a believer, your conscience, which is dead, becomes alive. And your mind, which is darkened, becomes light. And your heart, which is hardened, becomes soft. So that God's word is able to penetrate into your heart and make you straight. So our Father, everybody here is my brother, is my sister. Our Father, no discrimination. No looking down upon somebody because he or she is created by God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do people hallow the name? When they see you, they say, ah, glory be to God for this sister. I know her. For the past year, I know who she was, but now she has changed. But now he has changed. I see a new life in him or in her. That means people are speaking about you to glorify the name of God who has made you to become a new creature. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. To where? The kingdom is coming to America or to, New York or to Washington, D.C. The kingdom is coming into your heart. God's presence is coming into your heart to rule you. So you have to listen to him. Always you have to go according to the word of the king who is in your heart. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will is to be done on earth here, as you are going to do. So when you go to heaven, his will is what you are going to live by. So you have to live here by his will. And what does God want you to? How do you treat your wife? How do you treat your husband? How do you treat your mother? How do you treat your father? How do you treat your sister or your brother? How do you live with him? God's will is to live in harmony with everyone. Whether he's a believer or not, you have to live in peace with him. So, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is here that God is looking how you live. Do you live according to his will? Do you speak according to his will? Do you think according to his will? Do you act according to his will? Do you do your job, your work? Do you do it according to God's will? So God is looking to us. And here is the sign. We are the children of God. So he said many people will come. So you have to be careful. So many pastors will come into the system. When you come to Africa, so many pastors have come into the system. Some of them are magicians. And they have come into the system. They have attended Bible school. And they have got the certificate. Written certificate. Not living certificate. You have written certificate. That is mine. It's testifying that you have attended Bible school. And you have come out with degree. No. But living certificate. Which is the Spirit of God. So wherever you go, your life will talk of you. Even your dressing will speak of you. When you come to Africa, so many people, they go into the church with miniskirt. Ladies, miniskirt. And when they come to, they will sit at the front row. So that the pastor will look in between their legs. How? In Africa. They say you can't live anyhow. Those self-appointed pastors and man-appointed pastors, they allow every kind of dressing into the church. And what they say is that their correction is what they used to pay us. So if I say this, they will go. And how can I get money? It is God who is looking after me. Before I wake up from my bed, God knows all that I need during the day. Throughout the day, God knows. And he has made ready. What I eat, what I drink, what I wear, God has made it ready. It is not a man. And if God touches your heart to give this to me, you cannot turn right or left. You come straight and give that unto me. So I always look to God. But so many pastors have come into the system. They are so concerned with what? They are concerned with number. They say that when you preach according to what the people want to listen, many people will come into the church and money will come for you to live your life in Africa. This is what is going there. Many people will come and much money will come so that you can earn your living. And then they are so concerned with number, they are so concerned with money, they are so concerned with honor, degree, titles. When you come to Africa, some pastors, they say, most right reverend doctor. So if you are a pastor in Africa and you haven't got doctorate degree, you are not regarded. They will never invite you like as you have invited me. They will find out how far has she read. What is his philosophical knowledge? Theological knowledge? What is his degree, title, before you be invited? So many people, apostle doctor, reverend doctor, most right reverend doctor in Africa. So I remember one time a guest pastor was invited A pastor was invited as a guest pastor to go and preach, like as I'm preaching to you. So when you invite a pastor in Africa, he will negotiate with you. How much will you give me? He will charge you. He will charge the church. When I come, I will collect $2,000. And even in Africa, they have to receive it in what? Dollars. Is that right? No. 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 The gift, eternal life is a gift. You didn't buy it. You didn't find it. You didn't ask for. It is God who has called you and has given you the eternal life. So I remember one pastor was invited to preach, and he charged them $2,000, and they paid them in Africa in dollars, not in Ghana currency. So when he went and parked his car at the parking lot, the ushers came and ushered him inside and then brought him to the platform, gave him a special seat. And so when everything was over and he was invited, like as a pastor invited me, introduced me. And during the introduction, the host pastor said, now today we have our pastor who is well anointed. So now God is going to use him to bless us, to let us welcome him with a clap. Immediately, he got hold of his bag, briefcase, went out from there, the church room. Why are you going? He was feel angry, very, very annoyed that they didn't introduce him by calling out his titles. So he held back and went out. He opened his car, got in. The ushers went there. Why? What? Do you think I'm an ordinary person? If you are introducing me, you've got to call my titles. I am Most Right Reverend Doctor. You didn't call all these things. You just introduced me that a pastor is here to bless us. How do you call? I'm not an ordinary person. He shut his door and off he went. Because his titles were not called out. Jesus Christ came. How many titles did our Lord have? Was he a doctor? Most Right Reverend? No. Do you see? Apostle doctor, and even before you get the title, they will have to convene a conference, a big, so that they were, it is bad in Africa. Now this person has become an apostle. And is now a doctor, apostle doctor. So they will put something there. Come and put something in for him. No. So Africa, we need what? Prayers. And this is what is going on in Africa. So I just, you see, we need prayers. But if you are born again, the Spirit of God is in you. And you are being led according to the will of God. All these things doesn't come in. When you go to, you come to Africa, sometimes they say, who is here who need apostolic prayer? Apostolic what? Prayer. Because there is an apostle here. He is going to pray for you. So whoever wants an apostolic prayer must bring, let's say, $500 to the bowl. Because an apostle is going to pray for you. Apostolic prayer. Sometimes it's prophetic prayer. Because a prophet is going to pray for you. So you have to bring $1,000 inside. And people will just come on because they need what? Apostolic prayer, prophetic prayer. Is that right? These are the people who are self-appointed and man-appointed. But God-appointed pastors, they have what? Contentment. They are filled with the spirit of what? Contentment. They are always content with whatever God will give them during the day. They do not charge because the anointing, you didn't buy it. It is God who gave it to you. So now, we are children in a what? Strangers in a strange land. We are not citizens of the world. We are in a strange land. And we are heading towards our home, which is heaven. So you have to focus all your attention on who is coming to call you home. It can happen right now that we are here. So whenever you get out from your bed, walk in hope. Think in hope. Everything, do it in hope that your Lord is coming to take you home. Do not walk aimlessly. Walk with a plan, a purpose. so that when Jesus Christ comes, he will see you that you are ready. Now, when Jesus said, many will come in my name, and ye shall hear words, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are happening. They are signs that you are nearing the shore. We are in the ocean, in the ocean of sin. The whole world is an ocean of sin. So you have to be wild awake. And your ship, your boat, is what? Is the name. You are in Christ. And Christ is the ship in which you are sitting. You are living. And Christ is floating you. It's floating you. The Spirit is leading you. So do not get out from Christ. If you go out from Christ, you will sink into sin. Ocean. Sin. Ocean of sin. And you are in Christ. So Jesus Christ is floating you. He is your ship. And he is your everything. So when you go out from Christ, you begin to sink in sin. So many Christians are sinking in sin. They call themselves Christians. But you have religious men and what? You have Christians. Not all who preach are Christians. There came a time one person came to Jesus Christ, Nicodemus. He was a religious leader, a leader of the Jews, and he came to Jesus Christ in the night. Because he was a leader, he doesn't want people to see that he has come to Jesus Christ. So he came in the night and said, Master, what must I do to be born again? John chapter 3, he says something like that. John chapter 3, it says, now, there was a man of Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these things, these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He will say what? A Pharisee. A ruler. But he's not born again. Now, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? A religious man. He's a ruler. But he doesn't know what even born again. He doesn't understand. There are so many religious men who do not understand born again. Because they themselves are not born again. They do not. Because born again is an experience. Something that happens and you come to yourself, consciousness. And you begin to know who you are. And what you have been doing. Living in sin. Enjoying in sin. But when you become born again, you come to consciousness and you begin to see yourself and know who you are. Nicodemus doesn't know anything about born again. So Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if you are born of the Spirit, you are spirit. Your thoughts are spirit. You think spiritually. But if you are born of the flesh, you are flesh, carnal. You think of, worldly materials. You do not think about spiritual things. Mother, not I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listed, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell where it cometh, and whither thou it goest. So it is everyone that is born of the Spirit. It is like a wind. It blows through your spirit and you become to consciousness. Your dead spirit becomes alive. Your dead soul becomes alive. And you see who you are. And sometimes you begin to weep because you see that you were a foolish man, because you live anyhow. But when you become born again, the Spirit of God is now going to lead you according to the path of righteousness. Because Psalm 23 verse 3 says, He leadeth us along the path of righteousness for His name's sake. So now every Christian is being led by the Spirit of God. Now, another one came to Jesus. Who is what? The rich young ruler. He said, Master, what can I do to become, to have everlasting life? And Jesus said, what did you read? And he started calling the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt. And he said, all these things from my infancy, I have obeyed them all. When you turn your Bible to Luke 18, verse 18 to 30. I've obeyed all these things. What must I do again? Jesus loved him and said, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. He frowned. He became angry and went away because his riches was his God. He obeyed the Ten Commandments, but he is not born again. He doesn't have everlasting life that you and I have now. Everlasting life is leading you to heaven. So you have to be careful. So now, are you Nicodemus? No. Nicodemus was a religious man, but not a Christian. The rich young man was also a religious man. He obeyed the Ten Commandments, but was not a Christian. The Ten Commandments came to prove to you that you are a sinner, and then reveal God's holiness to you. The character of God, the Ten Commandments, came and proved, revealed God's character, God's image to you, and proved to you that you are a sinner. This is what the Ten Commandments came to do. And that didn't come to save you. But grace, the power from heaven to help you to live like God in character, is what you are speaking of. So every Christian has God, the Spirit of God, which is helping him to live like God. Because the eternal purpose of God for creating a man is what? Let us create man in our own image and likeness. So God created man in his image, but we lost the image in Adam, and we are finding the image in Christ. So whoever is in Christ and Christ is in him, he has got the image of God, which can let us live peacefully with God in heaven. That is why we are today here. There are so many people walking outside, and you are here. What is your reason why you are here this morning? Your reason is that you have been born again and you are being prepared for the prepared place. Being born again is not complete because it is like a child. Now born again. When you turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 2, you will know. You are a toddler, you become a child, and you become a young man, and then you become a father. Your father can come to Christ today. Your biological father can come to Christ today, but in spiritual, he's a toddler. Breast sucking. He sucks blood. Breath. The mother will put her breast into her mouth and he sucks. So spiritually, he's a toddler sucking his mother's breast milk. Breast milk. And then he becomes a child, now able to walk. When you look at some, you say, born again, he has feet, but he cannot walk. Cannot get up. So spiritually, you are like that. So, Jesus Christ told Nicodemus like that, and the young leader. So there are so many people, they obey everything, but if they are not in Christ, they are going to hell. Now it says, this is the hope of all believers. Going to heaven, you cannot go to heaven with long life. Long life. Even if it is long, by all means, it will come to an end. But we are going to heaven with everlasting life. Eternal life. And that eternal life, according to 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, is a promise for everyone who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 25, tells us that... And this is the promise that he had promised to us, even eternal life. It is a promise that if you come to Christ, you receive that promise. And that promise is in his Son. When you turn your Bible to John chapter 3, John chapter 3 verse, John chapter 3, we are going to read from verse 16, John 3:16. John 3:16 is saying that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. When you believe in his Son, you will not perish but will have everlasting life. John 3, chapter 6, from 16 to chapter 6. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The wrath of God abideth on him. So whoever has not believed in the Son Jesus Christ has no life. And if you haven't got an everlasting life, no heaven. And there are so many people going. Today, many people have gone to the church with their own focus, with their own ideas. But Jesus Christ, when he comes into you and his spirit is in you, always you are hungry for righteousness. You are thirsty for righteousness. So you hunger. And many a time you mourn, according to Matthew chapter 5, when you read, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because when you remember yesterday what you did, where you went, people you fellowship with, and the words that flew out from your mouth, you begin to mourn. Sometimes even you blame God, that Father, why didn't you call me in time? And you just allow me to do all these things before you have called me. Because your life of yesterday is very, very awkward. You begin to mourn. And God will comfort you. Because he will blot all this with the blood of Jesus Christ. Will blot it out. And then the Spirit of God will give you joy and peace. Hallelujah. So, when you come to Jesus Christ, this is what he does. According to John chapter 6 verse 40. John chapter 6 verse 40 is saying that, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. At the rapture, if you are dead, who die in Christ will resurrect first. But before we who live at that time will be raptured. So this body is going to be taken away. This temporal body is dead. You are going to be given a new body, a new spiritual body. This is physical body, which is dead in sin. But you are going to be given spiritual body, which will never grow old and will never die. So your soul is going to put in that spiritual body. And this is our heart, our hope. So whoever has been called by God has this hope in him. So you have to be careful how you live your life. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3 and read from verse 1 to 3. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 3. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. And the one who has this hope in him, that's what? Purifies himself, as he is pure. He who is coming to take you home is pure. So you have to purify yourself. Anything that heaven doesn't want, you have to drop it. So when you come to Christ, you drop and you pick. You drop and you pick. You drop what? You drop Adamic nature and you pick Christ-like nature. So every day, like now that we are here, something, some character will drop. And son. So when you come to Christ, you drop certain things and you pick certain things. Some words will go out from your mouth. You will never speak those words again. And some words that you have never spoken will come and replace what you have dropped. So now you see that we are growing in Christ. We are growing in Christ. This body is wrinkled, but the new one is coming. But the soul is always growing in the character of God. So you are being screened. You are being what? Screened. Who has this hope in him? We do. Verse 15 of the same book. 1 John chapter 3 verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer had eternal life abiding in him. Look at your brother or sister sitting right beside you. Do you love her? Do you love him? Or you hate him? Why do you speak of your brother or your sister? He says whoever hates his brother or sister is a murderer. And no Murderer has eternal life. So we have to love ourselves because we are going home with what? Love. God is love. So all his children will be what? Love. So we are being screened as we come before God. This is what has happened. Who hates his brother? How can I be? You see, who has this hope in him? Now, when I was coming over, I look at certain things and I brought it into spiritual realm and thought about it. When I came to the airport, my suitcase went under a screen before they put it in the airplane. And I also have to pass through the screen door. And when I was passing through the screen door, as soon as I reached, there was a bell. They said, young man, come back. What is with you? Lose your belt. So I lose my belt because of this matter. I lose it and put it in a bowl. Young man, go in. Come back. What is with you? Then I have to, my purse, my keys and this, I put it in the bowl. Then come. I don't know. What is wrong? I have this rub ointment. Sometimes if I feel, sneezing, then I put it in my nose. I put it in. Come in, silent. Then I learn something out of it. Anything that they don't want me to take into the airplane, I have to put it aside. You are being screened. My dear sister, my dear brother, you are being screened. Anything that God doesn't want you to take to heaven, you are being screened. You have to drop it behind. Every Adamic nature, Adamic character that God doesn't want you to take to heaven, you are being screened. And the screen is coming through preaching and teaching. Certain things will be pointed out to you that this God doesn't want you to take to heaven. So you have to drop it and pick what? Christ-like nature. So when I saw this, when I came, 2012 this happened, and 2016 too it did happen. So when I was going back 2012, I know, because I've got an experience. So anything that, when I was coming, the bell rang, I put them all, and then when I go, nothing happened. Because with an experience. And that is why God calls people and send them to what? Trials, afflictions, and many other things before he will select them to become your leader. Because they have passed through the screen door. And they have seen that this God doesn't want, this God doesn't want. So they will teach you and set themselves as an example to you. You are being screened. Sometimes you see when you turn your Bible to Mark chapter 7. There are certain things that God doesn't want us to take home. You are on the way going home. But there are certain things that are being screened. The bell keep on ringing. You have to drop that kind of thing. You have to drop it. We are reading from Mark chapter 7, verse 20 to 23. It says, and he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. So if you have got any evil thoughts against God's child, when you pass through the door, and the door is Jesus Christ, because according to this morning, when pastor was preaching, he said, I am the door. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus Christ is the door. Anything with you which is not like Christ, you cannot pass through him. Jesus Christ is the door. For it says, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and ever blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. All these things. So the door, as soon as you go through Christ, Christ is the door. Like this morning we heard from our brother. Christ is the door. So when you are passing through him, anything that heaven doesn't want you, the bell will ring. Then you have to come back and drop it. You go again. You come back. So you are being screened. This morning you are being screened at home. Your domestic life, you are being screened. Social life, you are being screened. spiritual life, you are being screened because you are going home holy, without blemish or wrinkles. You have to be pure in your thoughts, pure in your words, pure in your action. Why? So you are being screened. So whenever you are coming to church, be ready that anything that God doesn't want you to take home to heaven, the bell will ring. And the bell will come through the Holy Spirit in you or through the preaching. It will ring so that you have to drop it down. Because love, God loves you. So he doesn't want you to be left behind when the thing comes. So now we are going to read the last but one. We are going to turn our Bible to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And read from verse 13 down. It says that, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye also not, even as others which have no hope. There are some people without hope, so they live anyhow. 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus were God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Speaking about what? Rapture. 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is the hope. Those without hope, but you and I, we have what? Hope. Hallelujah. So you don't live anyhow. We do not eat anyhow. We do not drink anyhow. Beer, alcoholic beverages, no. Marijuana, no. Cigarettes, no. Because you are a temple of God. And you don't have to destroy the temple of God. So that is why you are given the Holy Spirit to direct you. You're eating. You're drinking. Smoking cigarettes, no. Marijuana, no. Alcoholic beverage, no. You don't eat anyhow. You do not live anyhow. Even your dressing. You dress to please God. A woman dressing anyhow. Because God intentionally created a woman for man's attraction. Why are you dressing that way? So the dress that you have put on, God is looking at the motive. Because the Bible says, according to Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. It says that, but I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her had committed adultery with her already in his heart. Already in what? His heart. So you have to be careful how you dress. When you turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 6, you see Proverbs chapter 6. So, my dear sisters, you have to help we the young men. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25 is saying, lust not after her beauty in thy heart. Neither let her take thee with her eyelids. So you see, our young ladies, they will put something here, and they put something here, and this something here, and something here. Why? What is your motive of putting something here, and here, and here, and why? Sometimes the eyelash, they will put the natural one of and loose one, artificial eyelash. So the eyelid will blossom inside. How? God is looking at your motive. In Ghana, this is what they do. Even the eyebrow, they cut it off. And then they use what? Pencil. They do it and then turn it here, telling God that you didn't make my eyebrow very nice, so I'm helping you to make my eyebrow. How? And your lip also. How? When you come to Ghana, some say, I just want blue eyes. So they go to beautician and they put something like a rubber on the eyeball. Green, red, yellow, white. When you turn your Bible to Psalm 139, verse 13 to 16, you see all the members of your body are in God's book. So when you stand before the judgment seat, he opened the fire. Your name is there, Francis Anisi. Yes, this is how I made you. The members of your body from the head to your soul are in my book. So I did you this way. But why did you do this and that? So that will put you down. And you will be directed with the left hand to go to hell. Right hand to heaven, left hand to hell. So now, everybody with this hope in him is very, very careful. Always allow the Spirit, because there will be a highway of holiness. Highway of holiness. That means high speed way. High speed way. You press the gas as relator to the side. No turning right, no turning left. No, you don't turn. And when you read, according to Isaiah chapter 5 verse 8. It will tell you the highway. And it is the Spirit who is leading us along the highway of what? Holiness. Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see God. And you are being led by the Spirit along the highway of holiness. Isaiah chapter 35 verse 11. Verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The redeemed, those of us who have been redeemed from the ever one, we are going to walk on the highway of holiness into the holy city. That is why the Bible is holy, holy Bible. Because you are going to where? Holy city. And therefore you have to walk on the holy, holy path, holy path. And the Spirit in you is Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is in you to make you holy and lead you along the highway of holiness into the holy city to meet our holy God and the holy angels. So those of us who have been redeemed, keep your focus. Do not allow anyone to deceive you. Because you have got so many self-appointed pastors and man-appointed pastors. But the God-appointed pastors, they are few. One against two. Self and man, they are always against two. We are 10 pastors in Africa who have formed unity organization. We come together and we pray. They hate me. Because they say that when I preach, I hammer sin. But I have to preach prosperity gospel. No, God has called me to preach kingdom gospel and not prosperity. So I will always preach, because it is not I who is preaching, but the Spirit within me is preaching through my mouth. So I cannot. I remember a time some pastors were taken to UK, London. They were 80 in number. When they were taken there, the very first day they gathered in a church room. They told the 80 pastors, "Hear that you have come. When we are praying, do not speak in tongues. And if you cannot, he will take you back. But if you do not speak in tongues, whatever you need or you want here, we will give it to you. When your time is up and you are going to go." One of them said, "No, it is not I who speak in tongues. But when I'm praying and I reach a certain point that the Spirit knows that I cannot express myself, then he changes the tongue into diverse tongue. So I cannot forbid the Spirit to use my tongue." Then they took him and sent him back to Africa. But the 79 did not. Are you one of the 79, my dear sister? Are you one of the 79, my dear brother, or are you the one who said, I cannot? I cannot forbid the Spirit not to use my tongue. Because the tongues, when you are praying and you come to a point whereby you cannot express what God wants to listen, then the Holy Spirit takes control. See, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, for you do not know how to pray, but the Spirit with groanings beyond utterance intercede on our behalf. So my dear brother, my dear sister, I just want to leave you here. And when you go home, you continue. Because I know the Spirit of God, who is presently speaking to all of us, will lead you along the path of holiness, so that someday when Jesus Christ comes, He will find us all ready. Are you ready? Like as our brother asks, are you ready? Be ready. Be ready, because you do not know the day nor the hour that your God is going to come. So whenever He comes, you have to be ready and surrender yourself. And know that you are being screened. So whatever the Spirit will tell you at drop, you have to obey Him. Drop it. And when He tells you, take this, then you pick. Because you have to attend to the fullness of the whole, of Christ. Fullness of Christ. Not low. Because when you go, you are going to be way down. Way. You will be put in scale. Jesus Christ will be put here, and you will be put here. And you have to balance with Him in image, in character. When you go down, it means you are heavy with sin. When Jesus Christ goes down, it means you are light. So how to equalize with Him? Balance the character of Jesus Christ for in you to meet our Lord and Master in heaven and enjoy eternal life with Him forever and ever. God bless you and keep you. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You that this morning You have gathered us together and Your Spirit has spoken to all of us, the speaker and the listeners. Father, we just pray that You give us the power to apply what we have heard this morning in our lives, that people will see us and glorify Your name by saying that You are now a new creature. Father, we commit everything into Your mighty hand. Take out Your control. Do not let us love the world, but to hate the world and love eternal glory. We just want to thank You for all You have answered. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Francis, for coming and preaching the word to us. It's a blessing to hear those things. We are on a journey, aren't we? And we have hope, hope in Christ. And as was said, we need to enter into that hope through being born again. Appreciate that illustration also of the scanner at the airport. There's things we have to drop, we have to let behind. And that's how it is, as we purify ourselves, as we have that hope in our hearts. And it's good to be reminded that our Lord is coming again soon. Yesterday morning at our prayer meeting, we were discussing a bit about the signs of the times and the things that are happening in our world today. And it just reminded me again, you know, we may not be here that much longer. And are we preparing ourselves? Are we purifying ourselves for that time when the Lord will return? And we have that hope. We're not like those who don't have hope. So may God help us to live in anticipation of His return and prepare our hearts for that and prepare our lives.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Effort of Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.